You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Now I'm a union man, amazed at what I am. I say what I think, that the company stinks. Yes, I'm a union man. When we meet in the local hall, I'll be voting with them all. With a hell of a shout, it's out, brothers, out, and the rise of the company's fall. Oh, you don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. You don't get me, I'm part of the union. Till the day I die. Till the day I die.
As a union woman, I'm wise to the lies of the company spies.
And she don't.
Good morning, members. Welcome to another edition of MUA Fire Up. My name is David Ball. I'm the Deputy Secretary of the Victorian Branch of the Maritime Union, and I'm here with my usual host, Aaron Moon. How are you, Aaron?
Good, thanks, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks, mate. We also have our producer, Annie. Annie, how are you, Annie?
I'm okay. We're all getting there. It's almost time for us all to be wildly let free in Victoria.
Well, down here in sunny Geelong, the youth and the young people are getting out to the clubs and pubs. You have to book to get into them. Some people don't realise that, and there's lines out the front of them, which is pretty interesting to see. But my 18-year-old daughter, who's finally living her rightful passageway to adulthood, is lining up out the front of clubs. And I think they do about three clubs a night. They book in, I think, for two-hour stints. And when you're in the club, while you're sitting at your table, you're allowed to take your mask off. But if you leave your table to get a drink or go to the toilet, you have to wear your mask. It must be a pretty unique experience for them.
Yeah.
I imagine it would be, particularly for those that this is their first time out.
Yeah. And you see stories about, I think, some beach parties in Melbourne and people defying the rules. I know there's been a little bit of that happening around the beach, and there's been a few little beach parties that have been scattered by the police, and everyone heads off in opposite directions. I just can't tell youth everything, or it's always
I think what happened on Sunday, because I lived down by the sea, it was really hot. Like, it got really warm. And because they'd been given, this is my opinion, that there was a time frame given, right? And they'd reached the time frame, and they just thought, I don't think they thought about it. I think they just went out to be in the sun, right?
Sure.
Thinking that, oh, look, we're allowed now. I don't think they really thought it through. Yeah. I don't think people were being especially brazenly naughty. I think they were just like kids getting out of school at the end
just
of the day.
Taking that 2 hours that they're allowed and spending the whole lot of it and then some in the sun.
But we did have some exciting news during the week with regards to the lifting of restrictions, and Tasmania are opening up their borders on the 26th of October, I believe, to all states other than Victoria. But they are allowing people to travel through Victoria to get to the spirit of Tasmania so that people can get over and visit lovely Tasmania. And that's a great thing for our membership who work on board that vessel and who work in the terminals there. So the pressure will come off those people having cuts to their rosters, and they have been sailing with a few less crew, but the right crew is on board now. But that's great news for our members and great news for Tasmania, and I guess great news for the rest of Australia, but us poor old Victorians are going to have to sit it out a bit longer.
Can't be too much longer. The numbers are dropping, so... But it is great news, particularly for those members down at TT Line down there on the Spirits, and also, like you said, on the Wharves. It's been a magnificent effort done by yourself and the Tasmanian branch to get our members through this time and ensure that the company didn't screw them over, which is what they're angling towards, I'm sure.
I have to say, TT Line are good employers. You know, they're a state government-run business, primarily Tasmanian state government, and they have looked after their workers, our members. So, yeah, a bit of a call out to the TT Line management, who have done a great job looking after their workers.
Very rare on the show that we're going to be doing shout-outs to people like that.
Yeah, it's really unusual just even to do that. But anyway, there you go. We were going to have Matt Purcell again on today, but I think we said that last week, and unfortunately Matt stuck down the wharf with another international issue with international crew, seafarers being stuck on vessels. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the ship in WA that came in recently with all the sick seafarers. Did you guys hear about that?
Certainly.
Yeah, it did. So it came in. There was originally, I think, 8 or so tested positive, and then a subsequent another 9 tested positive in the days following.
That must have been a fun ship to be sailing on.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think those flag convenience vessels are ever fun, let alone when they're riddled with the virus. But I think it sailed in from Jakarta in about 6 days up to Port Hedland. Obviously, that is within inside the 14-day quarantine period. It was, from memory, a bulk carrier, so I don't think there was a great deal of West Australians that had to board it to work the vessel. But had it been a container vessel, which frequently come in similar amounts of days over there and often come into port here within 14 days, it could have been flooded with people that just spread it back into the community. And we've seen what happens when a handful of people get off of a vessel with the virus already contracted. It spreads like wildfire. That's what happened on the Ruby Princess through the state of New South Wales at the first wave of the pandemic. And I think it caused a large majority of most of the cases here on the mainland.
So, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, that's right, Aaron. And the refusal of the health department and the government to place a few restrictions around these vessels and you know, like everybody who travels in Australia, especially if you're coming in and out of Victoria, you have to spend 14 days in isolation. Here we have these vessels coming from hot spots from all over the world. We have no idea of the health of the crew. And our members are forced to go on board these vessels and work these vessels without a 14-day quarantine period happening. It's disgraceful. It's stupid, and I don't understand it at all.
Do you know how they got it? Just was discovered that they were ill.
I don't.
I'm not 100% sure. I imagine it would have been, they indicated to some of the port staff, be they linesmen or tug operators, potentially a marine pilot, they would have been notified that they were ill there. I know that the system as it stands is that they're meant to self-declare, but the problem is that if workers on these flag convenience vessels self-declare illness and or complain quite routinely, they're thrown overboard and treated in the most horrific of ways. And often I would suggest that unless the symptoms were, they are on their near deathbed, they wouldn't be reporting like we need to see throughout this pandemic. So what I think is really disappointing is that you have a state Labor government in the McGowan government that seems to prefer to let exploited labour just fall through the cracks, but at the same time, they will just punish other seafarers here from other states by either not letting them in full stop or making them isolate 14 days either side of an already 4 to 6 week swing, effectively taking up the whole time to leave and making it quite impractical for them to be able to do it. I mean, we've had members that have had to move to WA and leave their families behind for the entire pandemic just so that they can continue working because the government won't allow our members to have a shortened isolation period or isolate on one side and then not the other. And yet they allow these exploited seafarers on flag convenience vessels in willy-nilly and are happy to risk their hard border stance in that manner.
Yeah, it's crazy, and we'd really like to see some changes around both of those situations. And you know, we have a lot of Aussie seafarers sitting on the beach here in Australia looking for work. The COVID restrictions have placed more pressure on jobs, and it'd be great. I know the ITF is spending a lot of time repatriating international seafarers who have been stuck on these vessels for periods of up to 18 months. The shipping companies are ruthless. They don't care. They're not going to change the crews if it costs additional money more than normal. And the ITF, I know they have repatriated quite a few international crew, and I'm not sure how many Australian seafarers have managed to get jobs out of that, but you know, we've certainly got the resources here to give those guys some jobs, and it'd be great to see a bit more assistance and pressure from the government to help us in that situation and to help those workers who are stranded out in the middle of the ocean and on these vessels.
Come gather round, children, it's high time you learned about a hero named Homer and a devil named Burns. We'll march till we drop, the girls and the fellas. We'll fight till the death or else fold like umbrellas.
Ah, this is the life.
Smithers, get me some strike breakers, the kind they had in the 30s. Full power, Smithers. Fast! Whoa, whoa,
whoa, whoa. So we'll march day and night by the big cooling tower. They have the plant, but we have the power.
Now do classical gas.
Springfield, from hell's heart, I stab at thee.
So we'll march day and night
by the big cooling tower.
Look at them all through the darkness I'm bringing. They're not sad at all. They're actually singing. They sing without juicers. They sing without blenders. They sing without flungers, cap dabblers and smendlers. Tell Simpson I'm ready to deal.
And we're back now.
There's been some positive news from DP World and Hutchinson's, hasn't there?
Yep, we have got some positive news for DP World. I think we're making strides at Hutchinson, but we have an in-principle agreement in most ports, I think, at DP World, which is great. Our members down there have been fighting for a new EA against some quite hostile attacks by their company. They've pushed through redundancies, threatened their jobs. There's people been put on warnings and all sorts of things for taking legal protected action or even stopping for safety. But we are looking to come to a close quite soon, hopefully. We're currently finalising Part Bs around the country, with some, I think, being completed, but our Part A is certainly done. So it's looking like there could be an outcome there, which is great.
Patrick's on the other hand, Aaron.
Sorry?
Patrick's on the other hand, not so good.
Oh yeah, on the other side, we have the second largest stevedore in the company, now coming through and attacking our members. We've been negotiating there for 7 months. I mean, there was quite a break during COVID that kind of stalled the negotiations, but their agreement expired in June this year. And the members all elected to take protected action. So they started taking some of the action, and then the company, so they put on basically a handful of bans across the country and did some stoppages here and there. I think there was maybe 8 hours down here, 4 hours in Sydney. But the companies came out and said that they are, that we are impacting the economy too much with our work bans, when in fact we know that Patrick's turned around and stuffed up their maintenance plan and cut through a wire and shut their terminal down for 48 hours. Their mismanagement of their yard and their terminal operating system has been ongoing for months, and it's just caused a backlog in Port Botany. Not a backlog of the 40 ships they said they were sitting off the coast, because I don't think there was more than two. I certainly don't think there was 40 ships waiting to come in around the country either, not into four terminals. So this backlog has been the inept management of their terminal for many months.
Can you tell me a bit more about this admin problem that they've got? This management problem? Because it's come up before, but I've only heard it from, I heard it from the Sydney MUA, but you guys are terribly polite. What is 48 hours? It was closed down for 48 hours because they got their computer system up the creek?
No, they planned their maintenance incorrectly and cut through the wrong cable, I believe. And this cable shut the terminal down until it was obviously repaired. So it's big stuff-ups like that that are causing the shit show that Patrick's management have made in Botany. On top of that, they come out quite hostily and stood down dozens of our members around the country. So these are skilled, they're screaming that they can't get boxes out fast enough, and yet they're standing down dozens of wharfies around the country off pay for taking part in their legal act, or their legal right to take protected action, which was voted up and confirmed by the Fair Work Commission. And then on top of that, they have the audacity to come around and say that it's wharfies fucking the country. It's just outrageous. Like, I mean, if it was the 1st of June and the 1st of spring and the flowers didn't open, they'd be blaming the wharfies. If it happens in December, they're blaming the wharfies. But now they think that their own managerial ineptitude, it's okay to blame the wharfies for that too. And now they've got us in court. They've had our action. Well, we withdrew our action pending the court case at the end of October. But they're trying to knock off that protected action. We've got to jump through 300 hoops to be able to take it. They've got a 5-day grace period where they can plan around any action we do take anyways. It's just, so, I mean, it's outrageous that the workers have to take such arduous steps to be able to withdraw their labour, which is a fundamental human right anyways. And then on top of that, the company can come and just basically deem it illegal. It's just outrageous.
But it's hand in glove with the LNP federal government's plan to gut the industrial relations system.
That's right, Annie, and it's pretty clear at the moment that the bosses' groups, the right-wing think tanks have got together, and they're using COVID as a massive opportunity to crush industrial relations in Australia. And the MUA and our members have come under attack in quite a few different areas. There's too much of a pattern with what the bosses are doing and the kind of agreements that they're dropping on our table. They're all the same. They're massively anti-union agreements. Patrick's have done it. Switzer are in the process of doing it. And other companies are just taking advantage of this situation. You know, after JobKeeper allowances, there's a thing called, they label a company a legacy company, which gives the company the opportunity to still use JobKeeper directives after they're no longer receiving JobKeeper. And they're no longer receiving JobKeeper because their volumes are not down so low that they can't qualify for them, yet they're still allowed to use the JobKeeper directives. It's outrageous. It's just it's a total strategy, and we'll be certainly fighting it right till the end.
And what that means is, on the ground, is things like the employer can decide what hours they don't have to consult. They can make people work in any place they want.
Yeah, well, one of the big things is they can give a directive for the employers to take up to a 40% pay cut, and no unreasonable directive can be refused. How is a directive to take 40% pay cut deemed reasonable? I'm not really sure. I guess, especially when, you know, the company clearly no longer qualifies for the JobKeeper allowance, so their sales are not down to the level that they originally were. Things have improved.
But also, people have to remember that when we went into COVID, Australia's wages had been stagnant for 30 years.
Sure.
There had been no genuine increases in salary, or profits had increased dramatically, but wages hadn't.
Yeah, that's right.
Profits and productivity had increased incredibly, and workers have seen nothing for it. And now the little that they have, they want to take off them. In light of the pandemic, it's just typical capital trying to screw down their workers. I guess it happens every day under this, as it is, which is unfortunate. But we do see workers continuing to fight back. I know the guys down at Switzer are still going through their ballot, Dave. They're making some waves there.
Yeah, that's right. The company's actually been issued with some good faith bargaining orders yesterday, with their belief that they're not really bargaining in the way that they're meant to. So that'll be interesting. That'll be heard out in Fair Work Australia today. We haven't taken any action at all at Switzer yet. It's only all sort of, going through the process of getting the ballots returned. But we're nearly at that point now. So that's pretty exciting. Switzer operating 21 ports around Australia. So if you think the government was screaming about the three ports that DP World or Patrick's were in, wait till 21 ports around the country are shut down. So looking forward to that. And I think it's a really exciting time and maybe unprecedented in history. It's going to be great to see. And I know, Aaron, you're also working with a small company called Ausport who are potentially going to go into protected action.
Yeah, the guys are considering their options down at Ausport. So Ausport's a line service. Ausport and Oneport, I should say. They're two employers that just share labour and share all the work here in Melbourne doing the line services. So that's tying the vessels up and letting the vessels go, and then a whole heap of ancillary services around the port, such as waste management and landing gangways and various other jobs that are actually quite important to getting these vessels alongside swiftly and safely, so they can be worked and then they can take off out of our port onto their next port. So these guys down there have actually been in negotiations with their company for 5 years for a new agreement. And the company has picked up some...
the majority of the work?
Yeah, they've got all the work because it's only the two companies that do it, but they've hired some lawyer to come through and do their negotiating, and all it's done is stall any sort of pay rise or any sort of industrial outcomes. In fact, actually, for some of the guys down there, they want to... Their proposed agreement cuts them back by... I think it's about 5 years after 5 years. Cuts their annual leave. Sorry, their long service leave back from 13 weeks after 10 years to 13 weeks after 15 years. So there's some fairly significant changes that the company wants to implement down there. And I, in all honesty, they're just unacceptable. They've got a monopoly of the port. They should be treating their workers with fairness. They go down there and they'll tout that they want an agreement, but they've done nothing to try and move towards it. They continue to stall. They're hardly bargaining in good faith. The guys have been telling them all that they want to negotiate around, and there's only a handful of items. One of them, it's not even a pay rise that we're arguing about. It's just some simple conditions to ensure that the guys have some dignity in their work life and a bit of respect down there. They've gone above and beyond for this company already, and they just won't provide them with any sort of certainty or a career path at all, and they continue to stall it, so they're not getting any sort of pay rise. And the guys are at the tether, I believe, down there. So It's probable that they'll be looking at taking protected action if they're able to vote down the agreement that the company may put forward. So it'll be interesting to see, and it's kind of watch this space, because it's been 5 years since they've had an agreement. But without line services, the port stops, and I guess garbage will build up, and there's a whole heap of other bunker samples and stuff that won't be getting done. And and this is all because we've got some shonky operator that hates his workforce.
They're Scrooge McDucks.
Yeah. Oh, he's
very much so.
A shonky operation, and the Lions guys, they do have a difficult life. Their work's totally irregular. They do short 3-hour shifts. It is a pretty tough way to make a living. We're nearly out of time today. I just wanted to give one little event a plug. On Sunday night at 5:30, the MUA Youth are running an online Zoom trivia night. All members are welcome. You don't have to be young to come. The youth are just hosting it, and they'd love to see everyone get on board. If you check out the Victorian branch webpage, you'll be able to get the details on how to log into that night. So that should be a great night. And congratulations to the youth who continue to fight the good fight. I'm sure you all saw Melissa McMullen on Q&A last Monday night asking about wind farms. That was a sensational effort. And congratulations to Melissa, and go the youth. Just wish I was young again. Thank you for your time again, members. See you again in a fortnight time. Bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
They offered me the office, offered me the job. They said I'd better take anything they got. Do you want to make tea at the BBC? Do you want to be? Do you really want to be a cop? Career opportunity, the one that never knocked. Every job they offer used to keep you at the dock. Career opportunity, the one that never knocked. I hate the army and I hate the RAF. I don't wanna go fighting in the jungle. I hate the seven sides boom. I won't open that bomb for you. Career opportunity, the one that never knocked. Every job they offer used to kick you off the dock. Career opportunity, the one that never knocked. Every job they offer used to kick you out the door. Career opportunity, the world has never known.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.